Thank you for downloading this episode of the Dad Podcast. You want to help support the show? Tell your friends. Get the word out. Facebook, Twitter, smoke signals. Maybe even take out a Craigslist personal. Whatever you gotta do. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley. How are you doing on this fine day, Adam Dooley?
Pow, pow, pow! I'm ready to fight crime.
Yes, nailed it on take two. Natalie, also at studio, the dear Mrs. Worsham. How are you, Mrs. Worsham?
Wonderful.
Asshole.
She's over it. I'm going to put my dick in it.
There it is. So, if you're listening to this as a podcast, this is take two of the beginning. The first one start off as a train wreck. I'm going to address it as a train wreck, but now we're picking up the pieces and
Absolutely.
We're moving. We're driving this train forward. Here's what's going on in my neck of the woods, my dearest friends. We're all live, by the way, at Dad Podcast on Periscope if you want to listen in. You can listen live at mixlr.com/dadpodcast. 122 people tuning in live right now.
Nice.
So glad they were here for the train wreck.
Yes.
Normally we get about 30 to 50. We decided to triple down for the train wreck of the beginning. Lots of new equipment, blah, 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 yakety schmackety. I decided for some stupid ass reason to sign up to volunteer in my son's classroom.
Oh, I never did that.
The screening that they make you go through is just insane.
Did you say screening or screaming?
It makes me scream the screening.
Okay.
The screening makes me scream. Here's the thing. They asked a while ago, this is what I don't understand about bureaucracy, okay? A while ago, they asked for volunteers. You'll remember I went in, I fixed the audio for the show. They were showing a movie because it was too hot in Southern California. God forbid kids are exposed and build their own sense of vitamin D without having to take milk or enhanced orange juice. They could just get it from the God-given sun of, you know, that we should all be worshiping here in sunny Southern California. So I'm there, here's the thing. I could be around kids without the screening if it's an emergency. Well, I could do it when it's an emergency, then how important is the screening?
Oh, I see
right?
what you're saying, yeah.
So they sent out a thing saying PTA members must come to help us out, and I go there, right? Now I go, you know what, maybe I should do the right thing. This is what's wrong with me. I'll do the right thing, and I'll go do the whole process. Well, the whole process involves you going and getting a tuberculosis test. Mm-hmm. Has anybody ever had tuberculosis in this room?
I had it twice.
Really?
No,
you got me. You were going to shit on my entire point. Because here's the thing. When I went to the test, so what it is, if you don't know, they stick in a needle under your skin a little bit.
Yeah, and your then foreskin?
Then they create a little bit of a bubble. Mm-hmm. You come back, and then the doctor stares at your foreskin, and if it is, I don't know what it is, but no, it's on your forearm. And I go in, I get the test, and I asked the lady at the reception desk, and I said, I got to get tuberculosis test, because God knows when we may go back to pioneer days, right?
Yeah.
She laughs. I said, can I ask you a question? Do you ever have positives? And this lady almost made me jump over the counter. She says, well, sometimes we have false positives. Or no, first she said yes. Yes, we do. I said, are you serious? She goes, yeah, we get false positives all the time. That's not a positive, bitch.
No,
That's not a real. So now I go back, I get the shot, and then I come back in to get where you have to come back 48 hours later. And then the guy looks at the bump and says, yep, you're good. Mm-hmm. And I said, what's the deal with the tuberculosis screening? What are we doing here? And I go, how many cases do you have? He goes, actually, you know, there's quite a few. But here's what he did.
They're false cases.
He had a very great answer, actually. He said, well, the thing is about tuberculosis is that it is so contagious that if just one person, and he said, many people carry the disease without showing symptoms. Mm. And they could just be transferring it around from person to person. So obviously the reason that they do it in the school is because it could just become this breakout, like what happened with the measles or whatever at Disneyland.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
Earlier this year. So I decide, I'm like, you know what? I'll look up. And here's the thing. 3 million cases annually or in 2014 worldwide of tuberculosis. It's something like worldwide. I can't remember what the exact statistics of, but and then also 1 in 3 people who get tuberculosis worldwide die from it. It is the most common killer of those that are HIV positive, which I found also very interesting.
Right.
And then to further shit on
and
my
that,
point,
that elementary school is riddled with AIDS.
Oh my gosh! Right. Those sexually promiscuous children before they get to even the times they are a changing.
You know
guys.
How many in 2014? In 2014, a total of 9,412 new tuberculosis cases were reported in the U.S.
In the U.S. Now, if you scroll down on that fantastic website that you found, because I also have this in my pre-show prep, you will find that there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 states that have a greater cases, more cases than the national average. Guess which one of those states we live in?
California,
yes, okay. But
that question gave away the answer.
Less than, is it less than or equal to the national average, or is it greater than the national average of cases?
I'm going to say it is less than.
No, it is greater.
Damn it.
California is
Can we
greater.
Start a third time?
Yes.
That's right.
California is greater than the national average. So no joke. No wonder I have to get screened for a tuberculosis thing. But here's the thing. Like, I still am not quite okay with it. I don't know why. I'm just wired to not like the bullshit of it. I don't like that. Then I got to give them a copy of my driver's license, and then they got to run a background check. And I get it. It's like taking your shoes off at the airport. If I was a normal person, it would be like, just do it because it helps them. Here's what I imagine. I imagine terrorists are sitting there going, well, we can't do the shoe thing anymore. Well, that's it. We're tapped out. We can't blow up Americans because they're all taking off shoes. They will catch us. I don't know why.
Okay.
That's what I think ISIS sounds like. But I think that the tuberculosis thing, right? I want to see how many cases get flagged. Like how many guys, like how many pedophiles are going, you know what I need to do? First, I need to have a kid. Okay. I need to raise them and take care of them to get them into an elementary school system, right? Then I get them into an elementary school system. Now I have to weasel my way into a PTA booster club situation so I could slide in under the radar and volunteer within the classroom.
And you're saying that plan of theirs is going to be foiled by the TB test?
And the screening. I think if you're sexually promiscuous, we already found out, you're going to get the tuberculosis and it's going to handle
you. I'm not sure that's the causality, I don't think.
Listen,
but
I am a doctor.
Okay.
If there's one thing that we have learned on this stupid, stupid show, is that I am a doctor and I know my stuff. So I guess I ask to you guys, am I crazy because I just look at this and go, because I can't be the only one.
I'm sorry, you're asking us?
Yeah.
I think the tuberculosis test is a little much. I think a background test, sure.
You think there should be a background check?
Yeah, I think there should be. Well, if you're consistently volunteering, I think that's safe in this day and age.
I want to subscribe for somebody in the chat room just said, yay for working parents. They don't have to put up with this bullshit.
Right.
And that's the other funny thing is that I kind of did the, I'm doing all this stuff. Tomorrow I'm going to go they have paper packets they send out. So tomorrow morning I'm going to go there so I can, because next week I find out if I got this job at the radio station full time or not. And if I get the job, then I'm a full time working stiff. I don't have time for this bullshit. Somebody else is going to have to raise my kids. We're going to have to outsource it. I don't know what's going to happen to them. Probably going to develop strong drug habits, something along those lines.
I think you get irritated by it, too, because it's like, okay, here's a list of all the school supplies we need, even though you pay taxes so that you're not for a public school.
Yeah.
So it's here's a list of all the things we need. Oh, and here's what we also need your help with when they only work like a few hours a day.
Yeah.
And then as far as prep, sure, it takes time. Like as far as teachers, it does take time before and after class to get all that stuff organized and situated and what have you. But you're paid for that.
I think you kind of put the nail on the head for me, dear, is that and then I'm going to nail it is what I'm going to do. Words are my thing. And in that, the issue that I have is that what other jobs are there out there that you are underpaid and overworked where it is common expectation for you to then ask for volunteers to come in and assist you with your job? Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. I love teachers. I wanted to be a teacher.
I think they should get paid more. And yeah, I love teachers too.
No, I don't think they should get paid more. I think that there should be some kind of reformation or reform within the union contract situation. Because here's what I think they should be doing is that I think they should be weeding out dipshit teachers that aren't doing their jobs.
Oh my God, yes.
And then therefore they would have more money to give and incentivize teachers who are actually doing a kick-ass awesome job.
You should see some stupid-ass LAUSD teachers I've done.
And I'll be honest, I would be up for it because here's the thing. I did a lot of railing on my son's kindergarten teacher last year, but fact of the matter is, kid came out smarter than when he went in. And as awkward as she may have been in interacting with adults and possibly the kids, still did her job.
She did her job.
If she would have, you know, if whatever you want to call it, standardized tests, whatever that comes back higher, then great. I say give her a little kickback. I'm not trying to weed out people that are weird. I'm trying to weed out people that are lazy.
Yeah.
I don't like lazy people. They're pissing me off. And that's my thing. And because it's like if you go to a restaurant,
yes,
right? And so, I think we all would agree. Everybody should do a tour of serving and waiting tables. They're getting paid minimum wage. Most of their money comes from the tips. Well, it's not like they send out. You walk in, the hostess goes, here's a handout that your server asked to give you. And then it's a list of pens and paper that she needs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And hair
so
ties.
Write your order down.
So she could keep her hair back. You know, like male servers are asking for extra razors because they have to be clean shaven in order to do that. You know what I mean? Like, so.
Oh, suck it up.
Right. Yeah. That's But
I
you couldn't say that to a teacher.
I thought you meant that for real with the razors. I thought that was really happening.
No. No, but that's not what happens. It's not like, and then she doesn't come to the table and go, listen, I have a lot of tables and we have a standardized ratio here at Red Lobster that because I'm over my 28 per table kind of situation, per section, I have more than 28.
Yeah.
Technically, I'm only supposed to be allowed 25 per the restaurant superintendent rules. I'm going to need you guys to go back and make your own salads, please.
And you're going to need to share the cheddar biscuits.
If each of you could go back there and do
the melted
for
butter.
10 minutes at a time, just make salads for the whole group,
and
that would
you
be fantastic.
Check on another table on your way.
Yes.
See if they need anything.
Just need anything, because I'm going to be overwhelmed here checking Facebook statuses and sending emails to other parents that are way too high maintenance and are sucking up so much of my fucking time because their piece of shit brat kid has so many needs and they, you know, I don't know who
Before
it is.
Before you help the waitress, you will need to get screened.
Yes, exactly.
With a TV
You're not going
test.
To a kitchen
Speaking
with
of
TV.
Which,
and
how
a
is
cheek
it?
Swab.
How is it you could serve food and not have a tuberculosis test? How is that not a prerequisite?
Or any interaction with
don't
the public.
They? Oh, no. You just have to do a drug
how
test,
is it?
I think.
How is it you could serve food and not have to get a flu shot?
Yeah.
How we make our kids get vaccinated now in California. Why can't... How is it that you could pour me an Amstel Light and not have a flu shot? What if you get your flu-ness in my Amstel Light and now I'm fucked? Now I'm sick.
You're fluid.
I'm fluid with Amstel Light and not even... No amount of... oversold craft beer wannabe, but more like crowd. I don't know anything about beer. I should stop on that rant right there. But
set that one
well,
aside.
When you're going back to the lazy rant, as far as lazy teachers, oh my God. I cannot tell you how many people I would call while I'm at work, and I call them because they want information on a loan or whatever.
Right.
And they call me and say, oh, well, I'm teaching right now, but I have time. Bitch, get back to work and pay attention to those kids. Are you kidding me? Like middle of the day. Oh, well, I have the kids working on something, so I could talk to you for like 10 minutes. No, then you have 10 minutes to staple some fucking papers together so that my husband doesn't have to.
And here's the reality.
I have a parent who comes in and helps me.
Yeah, exactly.
That, so
he got TB tests. He does a lot of grunting. And here's what you know what I'm going to do?
And he fixes shit.
I'm going to get cleared. Well, that's the thing. I went in today to drop off. Or
and
the
then
yesterday.
Molest some kids?
I went over. Well, I got two things. I want to go. I went in there yesterday to turn in my packet so I could go to be submitted for my background check, right? So the girl that is at the front desk or the counter or whatever you want to call it, she says, oh, she goes, you mean you didn't have to do this last year? I'm surprised that they let you fly on that. And Miss Steele usually doesn't, she doesn't let anything through.
Yeah.
And I said, well, evidently, if you have some mild carpentry skills, that's enough. That's enough to let that fly
by. But even
by.
That wasn't good enough for her.
yeah, she still had to redo the work.
Yeah.
Oh, God, to be married to her. But anyway,
That's why she's got cats.
So here's
dogs.
What I'm going to do. I'm going to get in there, and then I'm going to rant and rave with these small age children about what I think is wrong with society in general. I'm going to say, listen, all of you guys, number one, everybody here, you need to get a job. All right, everybody needs
it's
to get a job.
It's going to sound like wah wah wah
no.
wah.
No, because I'm gonna get like Arlie Ermey on some people.
What is your major malfunction, Num-Num?
When I'm reading Goodnight Moon to some first graders, there's gonna be somebody talks back.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
You know what I mean? I think that's what they need. And here's how I know: a couple of times I've thrown out some little lobs out there to in like PTA meetings and such. And I every once in a while I'll get a parent who's like, yeah, you know what I mean? I think like this is a secret thing that all of us as grown adults want to go back to teachers beating the shit out of kids, kneeling on some chalk. I don't want to go that far.
Well,
you know what I mean?
It's that whole thing. Everybody's a winner. Everyone gets a trophy. No.
No, not everybody. I'm laughing really hard.
Your first place, your second place, or your last? You don't want to be last? Step it up a notch.
What about you? Second is first loser. Yep. You want to do that one? Oh, man. Oh, God, you're turning me on right now. Pac, I'm going to need you to step out of the studio. We're going to need to christen this room real quick.
Oh, no.
No worry about thin walls here, my love.
That's true.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's crazy. And the other thing that's driving me nuts.
I have a question
before
you go on
it.
To another thing. I actually have a question and a comment.
Do it.
The question is, did you care about the screening before you were asked to do it? Because a lot of this just sounds
like... Oh, he
already
had an opinion.
A lot of this, he has an opinion about everything, but a lot of this, since it hasn't come up earlier, sounds like it's just like you're being inconvenienced, so you're annoyed.
Here's the thing. Yes. To answer your question simply, yes. And I'm annoyed because I'm trying to help. You know what I mean? And then here's the thing.
Well, if they don't have enough helpers, if you didn't have to go through all this red tape, you'd have more help.
Would you?
Uh-huh.
I think really what we're seeing is that the system is built where they need help from people who are not gainfully employed. That's the facts. You know what I mean? And the idea, like that's pretty few and far between. Here's the thing. I'm not saying it to toot a horn or anything like that, but. And I guess that income can be, proportioned to cost of living everywhere. I've never lived anywhere else but California.
Right.
And most of my parental life has existed in Southern California, which is one of the most expensive places to live. So I think it's very unlikely that you would find a non-two-income household that can exist. I really think those are few and far between. I've seen them. I've seen them a lot. Usually there is some kind of working stiff and then a trophy wife at home. This case, Paco being the trophy wife and myself as well.
Boom,
you know what I mean?
Boom,
nailed it up top, my friend.
We're trading places, though, quickly, dear.
I don't know about that. Let's wait and see. But so it's the idea that we need the help, but we also need you to jump through all these hoops. And I think if you threw a couple beers into a... If you threw a couple beers into a principal, chances are she'd be like, you know what? I don't fucking care. Because most of the time, if you're in the classroom, you're under supervision by another teacher.
Sure.
So there's the chances of you doing some kind of harm to a child is pretty slim. Or the other thing, too, is that I think you should subscribe to the Adam Carolla volunteer philosophy, is that what you don't want to – he does it for Boy Scouts. He says, okay, we got a camping trip this weekend. Who wants to go? First guy to raise his hand, nope, you're a pedophile. Right, you're out. But the guy in the back who's not even listening, like, Jerry, it's your turn. He's like, son of a, what? What do you mean? That's the guy that you want because he's not your pedophile. He's not the one who's going to do anything wrong to your kids other than say, listen, stop talking to me and stop looking at my face, right?
Okay.
What was your comment?
My comment is going to be controversial.
Uh-oh.
I am outraged. This is the sound of me outraged.
Oh, boy. You turn down your mic.
It's a little.
A little hot.
Excuse me.
We got his hand out. He's starting to
hit
the desk.
I want to know how many fucking hours we were delighted by your rage at that teacher last year, and now you're kissing her ass. You fucker. You're like,
her
ass. No, she did her job. She did her job. She didn't know your name. She didn't know your kid's name.
Yeah.
If she'd had to teach him his name, he'd have come out not knowing it.
No, but he can read a Dr. Seuss book really well.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. And how much, if you just put him into a wet napkin, would he have learned on his own? Most of it.
My son? My son. He's very intelligent. He's very smart. Probably too smart for his own good. No, he doesn't get any of that from me. He gets evidently he gets it all from his mother.
No.
He doesn't get any of his intellect.
I was not the book brains.
Yeah, but he's not. Here's the thing. He's not book brains either, really. He gets, I don't know how to put it. He's really smart at manipulation, like I was. Like, he knows how to play angles. And I think in a lot of ways, he's even better than me because he's more, he's even better at playing, like, the sympathy card. And
well, it'd be hard for you to get sympathy.
If not as a kid.
Spent a couple minutes with you.
Not as a kid. Okay. I was not nearly as arrogant or as obnoxious as I am now. Right. I was so worried about just working when I was a kid. God's honest truth.
Well.
I think that kept me out of most trouble in my entire life is because I was just, as soon as my father said, here's how you can make some money, and then I realized I could buy donuts and pizza and Reese's peanut butter cups whenever I wanted, I was like, I'm in. I'm into this capitalist thing. I am gung-ho, full bore. As a gift for Christmas, when I was about 6 years old, my dad got a bunch of like quotes that were really smart things from I bought it for him.
Oh.
I bought him quotes from presidents because he always was really into presidents and the things they said.
Right.
It took me for a while before I realized, or he actually gave credit to, I think it was Roosevelt. He was like, you have nothing to fear but fear itself.
Right.
So he used to say that all the time to me when I was a kid. And I decided that what I wanted was mine would look like a $100 bill in the background, but it had financial quotes from like Rockefeller and all those guys.
Right.
I didn't understand most of it, but I was way into it. And so that was my thing. My son's thing, I don't know if it's money yet. It seems to be angles and selling things like to you. Not an actual widget that he could profit from, but just selling you on the idea and trying to get away with doing the minimal amount of work possible. You know what I mean? And
which, I take it back, he did learn from that teacher. So, you're right after all.
Then I take it back. Yeah. That's true. Maybe she had more of an influence in 3 hours a day than what I originally anticipated. But, here's the thing. In my honest opinion to your controversial comment is that you get to have your cake and eat it, too. Like, here's the thing. You could go listen. You can remember all the ranting and go, oh, that made me so happy because I also have an asshole kindergarten cheerleader. Teacher.
Yeah.
And then you get to come back and go, oh, now for anybody who felt like, oh, why is he railing on this
now
poor lady? Now everybody's like, oh, well, you know, everybody wins.
I guess
not
so.
Good with adults, but good with kids.
I don't. Here's the thing. I'm not even going as far as to say she was good with kids. I'm just saying in
her
defense, he did learn.
Yeah.
He did learn. So that's that. The other thing I want to talk about, and this I need to have like a little bit of a cone of silence. And if things didn't break this morning, I probably would have tried to find a way to create an effect for this. But I want to do kind of a segment on the show where people can call in and have a cone of silence because I have something parentally that I need to get off my chest that I think everybody goes through and we all carry a little bit of guilt for it. And that is, I am sick and tired of listening to my children. Holy balls.
You need that cone of silence for them.
I don't.
Okay, now clarify. Go into detail on that one. Clarify.
The fucking stories and things that they want to talk to you about are the most boring bullshit in the world.
They're adorable.
Oh, you're the mother. Oh, you're so the mother.
Oh,
drinking
my
the Kool-Aid. They are the most. Here's the thing. And I am biologically created to love them. Like there's some kind of chemical.
They're talking. They're talking about their day. They're talking to each other. They're trying to be involved.
To their
it doesn't
father.
Matter what. They're
talking
saying.
To their father. Speaking
they're
of someone whose
talking.
Kids stopped talking
I have,
to him
it is,
3 years
my eyes,
ago.
I know you love those children.
I do love them. No, I'm never going to stop loving them.
No.
I just got to be honest. I got to be honest and say, here's the thing. Jack is fun to talk to right now because he's old enough that he could talk and have a conversation, but he's still so young that you go, I don't know where the fuck this is coming from. Like,
right.
No joke. I'm going to start recording my conversation because now he's solo, so there's no competition for talking in the car other than talk radio, and he is not into that. So unless we're listening
to... this morning you turned it on. He was eating his crepes, and you turned on talk radio, and he goes, oh, this is so boring.
I wonder how many other minivans in America today had a young man eating crepes on his way to school.
No, he wasn't eating crepes on his way. I turned it on my phone
because
they played
just
a bit
like,
that I did
he's
for the
eating
station.
Crepes in the car.
Yeah.
What is this?
Oh, no.
Fuck, how great is their life, by the way? Jesus Christ. Yeah. Motherfucker wakes up and makes some bacon and crepes.
Right.
And then I got the fucking kid. My older son is breaking apart the bacon. Like, it looks like...
He doesn't like the fatty parts.
A bacon genocide on his plate.
And it does taste different.
And then because the mother's there boasting about how he ate 5 pieces of bacon. Bullshit!
Yeah,
he ate 9% of 5 pieces of bacon.
If the fatty parts are gross.
And I was so mean to him this morning. I was. We had a rough morning. Both of us did with the kids. They weren't listening. And so I kind of said to him, I go, listen, he goes, Mom, can I have some more bacon? And I look at the fucking white man slaughter of bacon that he sees. Like,
right.
I'm all of a sudden a Native American, go, we use all of bacon. You know, I don't know
right.
why. Eastern European.
Native Russian.
So
I did a Russian turtle Russian. For the morning show on KFI, and I can't get out of Russian now. But here's my point. I go, men cry when you not eat all bacon.
There you go.
Big God, unhappy with your lack of bacon ingestion, young man.
Yes.
The moon will weep for the things you have left on your plate. For you do not remove the monetary equivalent from your wallet. Henceforth, you will not enjoy equal amounts of bacon. I don't know why he uses big words. I'm horrible at Native American accents.
He's turning into a Jewish show.
Oh, boy. Oi. Oi.
You're wasting money.
Oi.
Oh,
oi, sun god, very, very angry. Give you boils on your skin. I don't know.
Okay, now you're going Russian. No.
Here's my point.
That's one impression
I said to him,
that offends 3 different groups.
Yeah, I'm equal opportunity offender. We've only gone down to 119, so we only had 3 Native Americans who listened.
Oh my god!
Or 2 of them were Jewish. I'm not sure.
And a Russian.
I know we at least have 1 Jewish mom who's still in.
Yeah. Wait, tell that joke. The Russian, the Jew,
and the Native
Indian
American
walk into a school. They walk into a school. To volunteer.
It's Native American. Indians are the...
Sorry.
Yeah,
one
you
of the 3
use...
has TB. Which one?
Indians. The Native American. Hands down. We gave them syphilis and tuberculosis. You're welcome. No.
Which one is sober? Of the 3.
The Jew. The Jew is definitely sober.
Okay.
Yeah. No, so here's the thing. I'm looking at him and I'm frustrated and I go, you know what? I go, quit. I go, this is what I said to him. I go, quit eating, picking apart the bacon. Because here's what, no, all right. Here's what he does. He picks apart the bacon, right?
Because the fatty pieces are gross.
Right.
Yeah.
But you burn the shit to a crisp.
Right.
Not because
you're a bad
cook.
Hopefully they'll eat it all.
Right.
Because they like it crispy.
No, I'm not, again.
Yeah.
I said, this is what I said to him. I go, because and then he'll go, like, so we had this argument, say, 4 months ago. I said, you got to eat all. Just stick it in your mouth and chew it. And don't think about what you're eating. Just think about what it tastes like.
Right.
Because it all tastes like fucking
fat.
Bacon. No, it doesn't.
Yes.
Okay. All
right. I ate the leftover little pieces that he had. And guess what? I picked off the fatty parts.
So this is where he gets it from.
Yep.
I was just going to say that.
It's my fault.
I fixed it. I fixed it about 4 months ago. The kid was eating all his bacon and so proud. So proud that he probably sees Squirrel McGee over here picking apart pieces and leaving the, you know, it's like the fucking squirrel. You give him a free food in a tree. The fucker throws out all of the sunflower seeds and only tries to find the peat, like just hucks it in the and litters all over my backyard.
Right.
And then guess what? When he's starving, fucking comes back and gets all the corn and the sunflower seeds. All of a sudden.
Chad used to eat Eggos like that. Like, they would end up looking like a piece of watermelon that had been...
He wouldn't eat the outside?
He wouldn't eat the...
Oh, that's hilarious.
He would pick it off, like,
I
the edges
die.
Of it off.
I
too crunchy.
Yeah. So I looked at him, and I said... So he would eat it. Then now he's regressed. He's going back to picking it apart, right? And I said, listen, I could just eat the whole bacon. I go, it doesn't taste like fatty parts, because your mom burns the shit out of it anyway, okay? And he's just kind of looking at me, and he takes a bite out of it, and then he goes, like, you could tell that he's like, ugh, it tastes horrible. I go, dude... It's just in your head. I promise. It's just bacon. And he goes, and he's like, kind of gags or whatever. I said, all right, I'm sorry. I'm going to backpedal. I give up. Go ahead. Pick it apart. And so he takes the bad piece out of his mouth, which is 80% of what was in his mouth, puts it down. And then I said to him, I go, you want to know what's crazy? And I want you to remember this moment here.
Yeah.
When you are paying for that bacon, you will eat all of it.
Right.
That is what is crazy to me. But I love you, son. I love you so very much. You're the best kid a dad could ever ask for. Enough said.
You didn't say any of that last stuff.
I did, too.
Did you?
I did, too. And then what was the other thing? I went after him in the bathroom.
Yeah, he got, morning.
He got in trouble. He spilled dog food everywhere, and the, you know
what
the,
was he doing with dog food in the bathroom?
Feeding the dogs.
Go back to what
in
you were bathroom? Saying about the conversations.
The converse. Oh, the boringness.
Yes.
So yeah. Okay. So Jack in the car.
Squirrel.
Where? Which is still a funny bit in our family. Yeah. Every once in a while, we'll say squirrel, and poor dumb Jack will go where, and he'll look
because he'll be in random conversations.
He. So Jack on the way there. Here's. It's sad. I'm not happy about it, and I'm gonna fix it. But it is funny, and I think we all do it on some level. Yes. I have tuned these children out. They may, they're just,
I was going to say that's the rookie mistake you're making as you're listening. To
yeah.
Them.
It's fucking white noise until I hear dad. And then there's like a second dad, and that's when I go, what?
That's why. Because I'm like, Justin, they're talking to you. And then you don't like hear
you're
until
here,
like trust four
me.
In.
Honey.
Yes.
Honey, you're here for an 8-hour time span on your day off, and you're about ready to put their head underwater, okay?
This morning, I was like, it's a good thing, because school is saving your ass this morning.
And what was it? I've never heard these words come out of my wife until this last Sunday. She said, my nerves are frazzled. I've never heard those words come out of your mouth. And so I knew something was up. And it's just funny because she does so much to go out of her way to make things easy for them. And all it does is blow up in your face. That I think we all can easily relate to.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I'm trying to listen to Jack. And I go, okay, you're going to do the right thing. Tune into the kid. I turn down the radio. I go, yes, Jack. And he goes, did you know that if you eat, it's so, I can't even connect the logic. I want to make sure that I'm quoting him directly. He said, do you know that you have red scabs? And I said, yes, I do. And he goes, it's because of red meat. When you, and I didn't laugh. I just went like blue screen. He crashed my brain. While I'm operating heavy machinery. And I kind of went, what? Like, I'm trying to follow where he's going. He goes, and then here's what Jack is great. Jack is what it is like to talk to me, I imagine, because he will ask a question and then keep going.
Yeah.
Like he'll say, he said, did you know it's because you eat too much red meat? Because Dash, he eats a lot of red meat, and then he had a scab and it was red because he likes a lot of red meat and you're not supposed to have too much red meat. And I went, that was what? I go, no, son, that's not. And then I feel like an asshole.
Four.
Like I'm crushing. Yeah, but still, where do you draw the line? Where is it that I'm destroying his creativity by going, no, you're full of shit. Everything that's coming out of your mouth is complete and utter bullshit right now. You were talking so much bullshit that I need you to stop because I feel like, sure, it's funny and I think it's cute, but eventually he's going to have to go get a job and he can't show up to an interview and go, where do you see yourself in 5 years? I don't know. Traveling around the world in a dirigible with a minivan attached to the base of it, and that's where I'll use it for a restroom. Like,
but
even
you don't
that
think
that
somewhere between 4 years old and 18 years old or 20, 22, whenever that job is, or in your case, 7, uh-huh. when he's out getting that job interview, you don't think that somewhere he's going to pick up on his own, some of that stuff is not quite right.
Well, here's the thing. In all honesty, I think you do pick it up, but it makes it harder. Like, you know what I mean? Like, why, if I sit there and blow sunshine up their ass for their entire life, right? And then they go out, and then they get a job, and then they got a boss who's like, if he starts talking this kind of bullshit, not 4-year-old can't have
he's
rational conversation, you know what I mean? But he just starts talking random bullshit about things he doesn't know, uh-huh. and it becomes that asshole at his job. This boss is going to be like, you just shut the fuck up? Mm-hmm. What are you doing? Or he's just going to fire him? You know what I mean? And
I do, but I don't agree with you.
You don't agree that he's going
to
get fired?
I don't agree that at 4 you need to shit on him like that. I mean,
I don't
let him
shit on the kid.
Well, but no. What did you actually say? Because you don't have to blow sunshine up at his ass like, isn't that amazing science? Science is wonderful. Let's learn more about it. And like, or you don't even need to learn anything. You already know how it works, son.
Uh-huh.
That would be blowing sunshine up his ass.
Right.
But saying, you are so full of crap right now, you can't even believe it.
I don't
know. Doesn't need that
he doesn't. He doesn't like say that.
I say
he
that.
Thinks
but,
that.
I say.
Really
I
think.
No. Well, I said. I go, his, Jack, his I, comic, go, I gotta tell you. You're comic, full of shit.
His comic position is, hey, you're full of shit.
Yeah.
And then, however you dress up, having said it, is something else. But what's the upside of telling him that other than 15 years from now? Like, what's the upside for it for tomorrow?
What's the upside?
Yeah.
Is that he stops talking bullshit.
Or he just stops
and
talking
I don't have
to you.
Listen. No, he won't stop talking to me. Who the hell else is he going to talk to?
I don't know.
Then you teach him what it means.
I did.
Yeah.
I'm not a dumbass.
Yeah.
Then teach me, because I know that red meat and scabs don't have anything to do with each other.
It's not red meat. It's when you eat too many beets. That's what I said.
That's what I said. No, I told him, I said, son, I got to be honest with you. Yeah. I don't know where you got this from, but you're full of shit. And he laughed.
Okay.
And then I said, he goes, no. And I said, yes. Yes, you are. Uh-huh. I said, your scab is a scab because you get scratched. I said, everybody's scab is going to look the same no matter how much red meat they eat or like. That was the other thing. He also liked it. That's why his scab was red.
Okay.
And I said, that's a scab is red because the blood comes in and then the platelets come in and they create like a little crust so that underneath the protective crust, your skin can grow back underneath and then the scab falls off.
Right.
And to which he heard, ooh.
What'd he do? What'd he say?
He stared at me. He stared at me and heard that, I imagine. I don't know. But there's also a part of, this is also why I play it this way. Because I really think the real situation that's happening is that I think he is fucking toddler mind-tricking me. You know what I mean? Or kid mind-tricking. Like, it's like their own Jedi mind-tricking.
He's definitely a storyteller, and he will make shit up. No, he's a storyteller,
but
he
also, you have to admit, dear, he likes to agitate people.
He does.
He loves it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, does he?
He really does.
I wonder where that comes
from.
If
he knows it pisses you off, he'll do it more.
Not me.
Like, especially with Jacob. Yeah.
He loves to just, he likes to just find where the button is and just poke at it, and it makes him so happy.
All right.
And so I think this, and I like that part of the idea of that, and so... Even though I don't like being the victim of it, I'm okay with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so that's why I also...
Because he knows what he's doing. He's not...
I think... Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. But I hope, if that makes sense, I hope that that's what's happening and that he's just talking this bullshit because it makes him...
He probably heard it from somebody at school.
Me want to pull my hair out and go, you just... No! No!
Somebody at school probably said that.
Here's the thing. I've seen him. Here's what he does. He takes things from like 6 months ago and acts like they happened yesterday.
Yeah.
No matter how many times you say no. Like, he goes, last night we went trick-or-treating. Son, that was almost 13 months ago. Like,
my favorite's when he starts on something and Jacob goes, oh, here's one of Jack's stories.
Can you imagine how many he's heard?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, so Jacob, here's the thing. My dad loves this about Jack, too, because when he brings them home on road trips, Jack will just wax poetic and Jacob will just laugh hysterically and ask him, like, they're like Laurel and Hardy, like Jake, or the 1,000-year-old man or whatever. And the other guy.
2,000-year-old man.
and the other guy.
Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner.
I knew the names, but I didn't know what Carl Reiner's name was in that.
Oh.
Was it just Carl Reiner?
I think he's just supposed to be himself. He's a straight man.
Jacob is like lobbing him things to like keep him going and egg him on and asking him questions.
See what he says, yeah.
And he just laughs hysterically. Jack literally, like, not even trying. It's like he's a freaking beautiful mind. And just telling, but it's all bullshit. It's all colossal, like, crazy bullshit.
But doesn't he know everyone's in on the joke at that moment? That he's just...
I don't know. Here's the thing. My hope is yes. My fear is no. That's why
he worries.
To me, the win-win situation is for me to say, son, you're full of shit. Because if he does think that people buy into what he's selling, then it becomes an issue later on. If he is doing it just to agitate people, I'm agitating, and I'm okay with enabling that behavior. I'm all right with that.
Okay.
You can make a living annoying
people. You can agitate
people.
Well, that's what I was saying. Yeah. He gets it from you.
I still don't think he gets it from me. He's far better at it than I am.
Okay. Well,
I don't know. I never imagined that I am annoying to people. I don't.
But you don't. I mean, I'm assuming that things that you talk about on the show, you essentially believe the position you're espousing.
Yes.
But then you sometimes exaggerate it for comedic effect.
Because that's a very good question.
Now, you may have found a group of ragtag people who agree with your philosophy.
Yeah, keep shitting on the listeners of the show. No, I think your plan is much better than mine. Go ahead.
Oh, wait, we just lost two. Actually, we gained one. I think the American Indian came back.
He came back. He's like, if they're done shitting on my people, oi.
Goodness.
I forgot what I was saying. That's why I'm not in charge.
A ragtag of people that subscribe to my way of thinking.
But what you're saying is not necessarily...
honest?
No.
Real.
Popular demand. I mean, you're saying things that are... are...
I think it is popular demand, but I think that people don't feel comfortable because here's what I think. Based on the reaction that I got from the show when it first started,
yes.
I think everybody kind of on some level, I don't think that people listen and go, thank, I'm not a preacher,
right.
But I think that people listen and they like the humor because they have these thoughts that are not pure about caring for their children.
No, I understand. Right? I'm with you completely on
and
that.
And I think the majority of people are this way. But they don't feel comfortable saying it. I think that the anomaly is these people who on. I think also I used to think they were full of shit and lying.
Yeah.
But now I've met a couple of them that are. You could just look at them and go, nope, you're in this to win it, and you love every minute of what you're
right,
doing. And
right.
God bless you. I don't, and I. That's why I don't want to shit on those people either. But I just think that there are more of us out here that have a what we would like to call a realistic approach to what's
okay.
going on.
Okay.
That you could this thing where it doesn't mean. It's like what I talked about when Gary Hoffman was on the show, and I've had multiple conversations with him off the air. It's like you can love your child and care for them intently, but also tell them that they are full of shit. And also think to yourself, I am sick and fucking tired of telling you the same thing. I am sick and fucking tired of listening to your bullshit stories, and I don't really care about the picture that you drew.
And I'm not, believe me, I'm not thought policing. All of that is fine. My concern starts to come when those private thoughts are then externalized to the child.
To the child directly?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you, my father didn't hold anything back, and I'm fine.
I understand. You keep holding yourself up as a shining example, and I'm not sure that that proves the point the way you want it to.
Why would it not? I'm a great father.
Are you trying to
come into my home on my show and say that I'm not a great father?
I'm trying to say that you
have in front of my ragtag group of rebels?
No, but I'm one of those rebels. I believe that too. I
right.
just don't. I don't see it as a popular or a widely accepted attitude. Whether the others are bullshitters or whether they drank the Kool-Aid or whether they truly believe it.
Louis C.K.
gave a finger to his daughter when her back was turned was one of the greatest moments of my life because I'm like, he gets it.
Yes.
I'm not here alone.
Right.
It was fantastic.
Right.
But it took 50 years for me to see that.
Right, because nobody else feels comfortable saying it other than Louis C.K.
And if they, I think you're going from one extreme to another. And I think it's okay to say, good job on that drawing. But then I do think it's okay to say, okay, that's not right, and here's why.
For the sake of being transparent, I do not,
There's a middle ground. You can't go from one extreme to another because you could hurt them emotionally or creatively, but then you don't want to say everything is bubbles and sunshine and you're right about everything and you're wonderful because that's a false sense of reality when they get out into the world.
I think the
so
alchemy,
there's got to be like a down the middle. You're full of shit. I love you. Let me show you the right way. So this isn't right, but let me show you this.
Yes.
Oh, you were trying to draw a circle? That's a really nice picture. Let me show you how to draw the circle. So you're engaging in their interest and you're encouraging their creativity, but you're correcting their mistake and showing them, yes.
If I showed my kids how to draw, they'd stab me in the eye with a pencil.
No, but you know what I'm saying? There's a time and a place for everything. Sometimes they want to be corrected and shown and taught, and sometimes they don't. And then that's the cue that you have to take too. You have to know when to back off and leave them alone.
Right.
And then you have to know when they're open and ready to step
right.
in to help them.
And actually,
them
that's how you have to
it.
Work with a podcast host as well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Husband, wife.
The alchemy of who your father was and how he raised you.
Right.
And who you turned out to be, which I can comically challenge as being a shining example or not, or we can just take you as a shining example.
Right.
That special chemistry was possibly unique to the two of you.
Yeah,
it had to
you
do
said
with
this
who
before.
You were
yeah.
and who he was. And so your certainty that parroting that behavior or continuing his tradition of fathering with your own children will produce exactly the same results, I think is hubris.
No.
No. Well, there you go. More hubris.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
I spent so many years.
And I say that understanding that of all the parents in this room, I'm the biggest failure at this point. I'm waiting for the scorecards to change a little, but I'm in a bad, bad
don't
way.
Wait too long. It ain't going to work out. I've seen the other
Here's
way.
The result isn't going
I'll
be to be
honest,
the
I'm
same.
Not...
The result is not going to be the same because you're not the same. You have how do I say, I love your father, but you are a little softer around the edges than your father.
Here's the thing.
Because of your stepmom, you are who you are. So you're going to set an expectation for your kids. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not a matter of, here's the bullshit. People equate being hard on your children as being mean. People equate having an expectation as being mean. It's not being mean. It's setting the path for their future, basically. It's not being mean. You can set an expectation and say, good job, or you know what, that was pretty shitty, let's try it again, and then give them a hug. There's no mixed message there. You're giving them, you're fueling what they need for when they become employed. Basically.
That's so nice. You
have a little bit of a softer edge. You have an expectation, but you're also, you have a big heart. As much as you want to put that out on the show that you're an asshole and you're hard on your kids, or you have high expectations, at the end of the day, if everybody in that podcast could come into the house, you're very loving, caring, and nurturing to those kids, and they know it. So when you
great,
sit
there, now
we can't
release this episode.
So when you say, "Hey,
could you not have said that 10 minutes
I
in? We're almost fucking
you to
done
do
here.
This." Then guess what? This morning, our 4-year-old, without being told, wakes up, makes his bed, puts his clothes on, comes out. Once to make his bed, once to put his clothes on, once to go get out there and get the scoop for the dog and feed the kid.
Because
and
employment equals self-esteem.
And then guess what? He did all of those things. And then what do we say? Good job, Jack. And we give him a hug and we give him a high five.
And I give him $5.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, and here's the thing. I'll be this is 100% honest. The reason I call myself an asshole is because it's that mentality. It's kind of what I think you're describing.
Yeah.
In that, I think the popular opinion of people who see me, I've seen it happen. When the idea of me joking when I'm across the country talking to two toddlers on a computer screen and I say, "Okay, son, you've made your brother and your mother upset. When I come home, I'm going to have to kill you."
Right.
The idea of doing that, people go, no. And it's the same thing. When my father said I had two other brothers and a sister who also touched his stereo,
yeah,
and he killed them and buried them in the backyard.
Yes.
Because of what I think you're describing, Natalie, because I felt his affection for me and love for me, even though I think I am, not to his discredit, I am more affectionate towards my sons. But I think that it's because of that, what we talked about with Tina Payne Bryson, is that secure attachment. I never looked at that as going, oh my God, as a traumatic moment. I looked at it as, if I don't screw up, I get to live as a 5-year-old child. And I grew up with that mentality. If you don't, and it took me until I was 8 before I realized, hey, wait a minute, he can't legally kill me. He's going to have to go to the hooskow if he does some really bad stuff.
Right.
And then I tried to throw that in his face only to have him beat the living shit out of me.
Well, I stand corrected. I stand corrected. But it did just occur to me, it's kind of an interesting side note, is that you're full of shit, Jack. You're incredible bullshit. As a way of prepping him so that when he's in the real world with a boss that he'll be able to not have everyone love him and blow sunshine up his ass. But and then you say getting that from your father, and that's a continuing of that. You're a man who's barely ever had a boss.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. So instead of preparing you to be with bosses, perhaps what it did with, in case of your father, is make you not ever want to have a boss.
It did in the sense that, that's a very good point, but I think that it really is, I'm not painting him into a picture to where he can't have a boss. What I'm trying to say is, this is what it's going to be like when you get into this world.
Right.
Because I have never had a boss because I've been able to go out on my own and make a living.
Yes.
But right now, the thing I want to do, I have to have a boss, and I have to learn to deal with that. And I'll admit, not because of anything my dad did to me, but I think of more because of just who I am as a person.
Yes.
That is probably harder for me than it is, say, other people, definitely my wife. My wife gets just as frustrated dealing with her employers and things like that, but she just kind of – I don't know if this is even most people. I just know it from her, is that she can come home and go, oh, man, they're doing this thing. It drives me nuts. And then it's over.
Yeah.
Not me. It's really, really hard for me to let it go because all I want to do is walk in there and go, okay, and it's wildly arrogant, and I don't do it.
Yeah.
You want to fix it.
I want to fix
you
it. I want to come in and go,
have
all
a
right,
solution.
Everybody, listen up.
You have an efficient way of doing it.
Oh, I felt that way with
a corporate with element to it.
Luna many times that I was just like, oh my God, just
corporate
just
stiffer.
Give me the extension.
Yeah.
Tell me what the
yeah.
extension
yeah.
is. This will never happen again.
Exactly. And so if and here's the thing. I knew that though early on, and I don't know if I am unintentionally making them that way, but I told Natalie, I said, just so you know, when these boys get older, it's going to be less about extracurricular activities or finding a career path, and it's going to be more about trying to find a way to have them be self-employed, that the more that they can employ themselves, the better things will be for them, because I can already see that they have issues with authority. They have a hard enough time
Jack
listening.
Does. Jacob, not so much. But
Jacob doesn't like to.
Jack does.
He doesn't like to do what he's told. Jack has that thing where it's like, oh, I'll find a way to fuck you up, like it, Machiavellian style, which is entertaining and scary at the same time. But I feel like I'm treading dangerously into the territory of being getting up on a soapbox and blowhardy and blah blah blah. So let's see. Let's do some of this stuff before we wrap up here. Does that make sense, Paco? Am I glossing over anything or no?
I'm sorry. Were you talking to me?
Yeah.
No. It all sounds fine. you know, at the end of the day, you and I agree on a lot of things, and there's a few things we don't agree on, and you make a good case.
It's
not like the other day when I'm like, yeah, whatever. Whatever you think. Yeah, go do that.
Go do that and good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what
Diego
said
about
that to me the other
show,
day.
Good luck
because
with that.
Because you have one extreme and you have one other opinion, and so you can relate to a lot of people out in the audience, which is good.
Yeah. I told him about
them a different
project I was trying to get going with a friend of mine, and he was like, yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
And also, to bring up, sorry, if I ever uttered those words to my father, I don't know that I would be able to have function on the left side of my body.
I'm sorry, which words were they?
Good luck with that.
Oh, good luck with that. Yeah.
Said good luck with that without being a grown-ass man in his mid-30s who's paying a mortgage and does not need my father for anything. If I was only maintaining this house because of some kind of like thing he was doing for other than the projects, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I said good luck with that. Oh, my God. Even today, I think he would fucking gut me like a fish. All right. Oh, this is the other thing I want to talk about, but we wasted too much time on the other stuff. But
wasted?
No, it's not.
I think this is at least,
you know what?
Here's the thing.
If this episode gets released, we're already way ahead of last time.
You need like 3 hours.
No,
when all three of us are in the room.
I kind of have this litmus test in my head that's maybe unfair, but when you could tell when the people in the chat room are talking more to each other than they are about what we're talking about, chances are...
No, you're giving them something to talk about.
No, they're not talking about what we're talking about. They're talking about their vacations and where they're going.
No, but the function of the chat room was never to talk more about you.
Not in my opinion.
Well, I know. That's
somebody's not getting my passive-aggressive message. But I want to talk about this real quick.
You're going to have to shut that chat room down.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just because it's not enough to talk about you.
They're taking
I'm paying
notes.
For it. They need to have subliminal message just to say my name every 5 seconds. No,
there you go.
I want to talk about this because it came up last time on the show. You and I now, dear, have talked about this off the air. And I know you're the wrong person to ask, but I feel because you're in the room, I want to give you an opportunity to weigh in. You all remember the shower conversation we had previously.
Oh, she's so pretty. I want to put my dick in it.
So recently it came up on this show that I said that, you know, ladies don't wear all their clothes in their closet. And they know that. And so what I said was...
So true.
So I said that one of the things you can help with that and actually, you know, find a way to get girls to get different clothes is that you go shopping with them. And I said it now. This may seem very painful to guys.
This is totally not creepy.
Right. Thank you. In that, I say you go and you get to go into the changing room.
You know, in the courtroom, if the witness on the stand answers the question before the lawyer asks it, it's usually considered poor form.
Poor form?
She shouldn't jump to the end because now she just sounds like you've been rehearsing her in the kitchen.
No. He mentioned it.
Well, here's the thing.
She's the
wrong person to ask, A, because she's obviously married to me.
Like, no, but I know you only want to poll those who are going to agree with you. So
that's what I do. That is my whole
objective.
But my point is, I went back and looked through the chat room. There were lots of moms weighing in on the chat room who also thought it was not creepy. And here's the thing.
You're not fucking in the fitting room.
No. If you were.
No. If you were fucking in the fitting room, I wouldn't think it was creepy.
No, that's creepy. Now, if
no,
you're
it's
in,
gross.
That's creepy.
It's gross,
no,
but it's
creepy.
Not creepy.
If I'm in there going, brown, chicken, brown, and then doing a striptease, that's creepy. Yeah, exactly.
Honey.
Oh, you like a medium or you like a large?
Wait, why are there different size options?
What?
Because she's trying on clothes. She's trying on clothes.
But if you're referencing my junk, you don't want to have different.
Well, clearly,
that's not.
Clearly, she doesn't like a large.
It's always one size that is too big for all. Is the size okay? All right, back to one. Let's try this. All right.
Oh, baby, you like the way the tank top fits on my shoulder neckline?
Yes, I do. Grab that coat hanger and let's make some more children.
Yeah.
But
Why is it a coat hanger?
That was horrible.
That would get rid of children.
No, not a coat hanger. The hook is what I meant to say.
You said coat hanger.
It sounded
that kills
like we were killing children.
Okay, back to one.
Okay. Oh, what do you think of the skinny jeans?
I think that they are too skinny for your perfect body. Prepare for me to enter you.
Yeah. Oh.
I feel like I should leave this dressing room now.
Now it's creepy if you're there.
Now it's creepy.
But no, here's the thing. If you're a guy who, honestly, here's the thing. I want you to try this with Luna. I want you to take her shopping and say, I'm going to sit in the changing room with you and watch her reaction.
Okay, I have to say.
Have you talked about this with Luna?
No.
Okay. You know what's cool about this? There's things that I will pick out, and I will pick out the same clothes, and I will find a shirt that I like that fits me well, and I'll get like a different color. So I'm very plain, and I don't pick out anything. I'm just really, really plain Jane.
There's absolutely
right?
No part of this is that a man can't help a woman pick clothes. That's fantastic.
No, okay.
It just gets weird when he's in the room.
No, no, and here's why. I'm getting to a point.
Okay,
hang on.
Sorry.
So.
Okay, I'll
talk with her.
When you're like picking out the different clothes and you've got them, it's the same shit on the hanger. Mm-hmm. Where Justin, it's like a fresh set of eyes. Yeah. Like you're so used to, for so 36 years, my eye goes to the same color, the same clothes, the same cuts, the same styles, right? Because that's what I'm comfortable with.
Sure.
I don't think that I might look good in anything else.
Right.
Or if it's a little fitter, like tighter or whatever. Justin will sweep through with me and will, well, what about this? Well, what about this? And I'm like, no. And then he'll just grab stuff in my size.
Yes.
And he'll go, no, trust me. No, trust me. And I'll try it on and I feel good. And like he sees it and he's like, yes. Or then there's a shirt that looks horrid and he's like, no. And then I'm no. We've kind of got the same thing.
And you have to
will pick things out that are actually very complimentary. Then you take it home. You know, it's shoved in your closet. 3 weeks later, you go to put it on, and he'll say, oh, that looks really nice, dear. That's great. He picked it out.
And
he
because
was there,
I'm still
and, like,
a stupid guy.
And I thought it was cool.
And that is all fantastic, and not a single part of that, not a single
is
part
creepy.
Of what you said,
is
requires
creepy.
That he be in the room for that effect to occur.
No, yes, because then he's agreeing, yes, that looks nice. No that doesn't look nice
because,
saying, how it fits.
What he's saying is, I don't have to be in the room for all of that to be achieved. And all I threw out.
He
doesn't
have to watch you put on the pants in order for you to walk out
but
and say,
I,
how do these look? And he go, thumbs up.
What I threw up.
Whether he's in there or out there, it doesn't matter.
Right.
No.
Because she's my wife.
He's seen it.
Right.
Whether it's on or off,
the idea
it doesn't
to
matter.
Me that me watching my wife take on or put or take off her clothes or put new clothes on is creepy, is fucking insane to me. The idea,
well,
she's my wife. It's, you know what I mean? I'm not, it's not some kind of weird pervy thing. I could see this any moment that I would like.
Right.
You know what I mean?
We're in the same room and we're getting ready for the day and we're putting clothes on doesn't mean you want to put your dick in it.
And here's my point. Yes, right, exactly.
Have you listened to this show?
She's so pretty. I want to put my dick in
it. So my point is.
Exactly.
My point is, but she is so pretty. I want to put my dick in it.
Okay. But not in that all moment.
Right. No, I don't. Here's the thing.
Oh, yeah. She's putting her shirt on.
But okay, let's go full tilt. Let's peg this bitch out. And we take it all the way towards, like, you don't even get your shirt off. And I'm standing up and go, listen, I would like to have the love with you right here in this.
It has nothing
room.
To do with humping. If you were humping, I'd be fine. And if you were dressing in your bedroom and he was watching you in your bedroom, there would be
sweet.
No creepiness
if he
to
says
it,
something,
saying,
it's like sweet. It's like
but
a compliment.
She, no, his
it's
point
cool
is,
thing.
It's the idea of me sitting in the changing room and watching you change clothes. It's the idea that I'm watching a strip show.
No,
with
I get
my
his
wife.
Idea.
It's the passivity of on his part. The passivity is what's, and part of it honestly goes back to his original description of watching you shower, which for comic purposes did sound a little creepy. I mean, we could roll the tape, but it wasn't like I was like, what are you doing? And then you would you would exaggerate, you know, sitting on the toilet and having your seat and, you know, yeah. It was a whole thing.
But that part I wasn't exaggerating. Like, I sit and I have a conversation with her. I will look, I will ogle her up and down and I will say, you are looking just good.
And
just,
that's sweet.
That is a big, that's a gigantic
slice.
He's not
drooling and foaming at the mouth and growling.
By, here's the thing, and I'm saying this, and the reason I keep beating this dead horse is that on the off chance, there is a guy out there who's listening who's of the same mind that you are, right?
Yes, yes.
I'm saying, come over to the dark side, okay? Try it on for a good month and a half. Fuck it. Treat it like an exercise regimen. Do it for 3 months. When you're walking by and your wife is changing clothes, stop walking, turn and look at her and stare at her while she is changing her clothes. And when she looks up at you, you give her a little wink and a... All right. You take her shopping. You sit there in the changing room and you watch her. And then and when she looks at you, go, man, look, say what you're thinking. Right. Say what you're thinking. And I think the only thing that will happen is not her going, I got to get this creepo away from me.
You will get laid.
You will get laid. A. But B, the bigger picture teaching a man to fish is that I think you'll have a wife who feels more self like.
Well, no, hang on. Teach him to fish. He's already got the fish if she's his wife.
Yeah, but you got to keep that fish because she can wiggle free.
Oh, that's true.
You can treat the fish any way you want. She's not going anywhere. She can't drive.
You know what? You're not nurturing that fish.
Your way's much better.
Are you still married, Adam?
And I tell my wife every day or every other day how beautiful she looks.
See?
I see her in various stages of dress.
Yeah.
Sometimes she'll wake me up in the morning because things are going on. She's coming out of the shower. She wakes me up. She's, you know, bare-chested.
Yeah.
She gets a big comic, you know, from me, big double take. When the first thing I see when I open my eyes
And what's her reaction?
She laughs at me because I'm funny.
You're right. But she doesn't go, you're
a
creep.
But it's sweet. It's endearing.
Yeah, and if I say, ever do that again, she's going to do it again.
Yeah, it's endearing.
No, when you're in it, it doesn't feel creepy. That's the other part you guys aren't understanding.
Only creepy because you're thinking of me sitting in a changing room with my wife.
It's creepy to me.
So it's not creepy for you
to
a changing room and watch Luna
change. The thing
change.
Is, I wouldn't go in with her because I can accomplish the same thing of giving her advice and telling her that she looks good without being in the room.
Try it. Don't knock it till you try it.
She will not be happy with it, but maybe it comes down to the difference in our wives and ourselves.
Here's the thing. I think that if you go to her and say, listen, okay, Justin has this stupid harebrained idea where I'm going to go shopping with you.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take you out. We can go to a nice lunch
wherever
you want.
Here.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He thinks this is that way you're safe. I'm just going to be in the changing room with you while you try on the clothes.
Yes.
And I just need you to let us try this one time and see how it goes. I guarantee you that she's going to walk like, that wasn't creepy. And you're going to be like, I got to see a little peep show. Because here's the thing. Most of the guys, and I are probably the exception to this rule.
You just said the words. I got to see a little peep show. Can I see a motherfucking show of hands? Who says peep shows aren't creepy? A peep show is 42nd Street, dark at night, and the floors are sticky.
But not when it's your wife.
But it's not creepy.
Not when it's your wife.
But you made it a peep show.
Not even when it's your wife. If you're good, if you break it down to a peep show. A peep show's not creepy.
Here's what he said. I wish I could wrap my mind around it because there is some kind of like malintent that I am unintentionally putting in there with my words, but it's not because it's my wife. Like it's not.
I want to know what the listeners think.
I know what the listeners think.
Listeners agree with him.
No, I want to see if they try it and what happens. Mm. That's your homework, listeners. That would be really cool if they go and try it over the next 30 days.
Steven says, "Never start with Justin said." He's saying, don't, maybe you should leave me out of the equation altogether.
Yeah, right. That's not going to be.
Which I agree. But there's already a mom in here who agrees with what you were saying, dear, that it's not creepy. But I look forward to your research, is what I'm saying.
I will research it. My guess is I won't be able to.
How people call in? Like after a month or so, if anybody does this, call in because I'm curious. I want to know.
877-222-8323. You could leave a voicemail or you could send an email to show@thedadpodcast.com.
She's clapping her hands.
Yeah.
She wants this to happen.
She's excited.
Yes, I'm excited about this.
All right. Other ways.
Oh,
besides,
you were going to mention something about boobs. I didn't.
Here it comes.
Oh, okay.
Besides getting in a changing room, here are five more ways that you could boost a woman's mood. The things that cause they interviewed 1,000 women and asked them what makes you feel fabulous, and this is what they said. Number 5 was getting a compliment from their boyfriend or husband. That was 42% of them. Being around friends and family is 45%. Getting their hair done is 48%. Buying a new outfit, 50%. And a third said that if their loved one is in the room with them while they are changing clothes.
Oh, shit.
No, it's buying new shoes works too, is what the third said. But number one, getting enough sleep. 50% of women said they feel more attractive if they get enough sleep. And oh my gosh, can I tell you that that shit is absolutely true. Anything else that you could think of, dear, that puts you, what puts you in a good mood?
No, I think all those things are good.
Yeah. But so would you say though sleep is probably
ice
the
cream.
Number? Ice cream. That's true. Ice cream. Do you ever feel guilty though after you eat ice cream? Like you're like,
no.
Oh, I'm going to.
Nope.
Yeah. That's about your metabolism more than it is anything else. This is great.
Luna hates compliments.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like that's a lie.
It's not a lie.
No, sometimes they make you feel uncomfortable.
Really?
But it depends.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, as far as I can tell,
depends on what it's for.
My complimenting her means nothing. That's what I can, as far as I can tell. It has never made her, you know, feel better about her hair or anything else.
It's like talking to a wall.
I think all it does is lower my value. Because if you look at me looking like this and think this is
like,
good, Adam, your standards are obviously so low that you can't be relied on as a meter.
That's weird that you're weirdly holding up a mirror to your own compliment. Is that what I just heard?
Well, no. It's clearly she dismisses
the compliment.
Creepy,
man. That's freaking creepy. That's all I needed. Yeah. I'm sorry.
She just clearly dismisses whatever it was I said. Because I clearly am wrong, because she has looked at herself, and she knows that her hair
doesn't
look
the same
good.
Thing.
Well, yeah, because you've been with each other
like
for so
horse,
long.
Man.
You've been with
now
each other for so
shower?
Long, yeah. You're like, you have to say that, or you're obligated to say that.
Yeah.
But if some guy that's
well,
like
that's
40 years old walking down the street does a double take at Luna,
yeah.
It's a boost.
Well, you know what?
As
I am not
crazy
fucking
as
obligated
that sounds.
To say it. I fully believe it.
Right.
I am mm-hmm. not obligated. And so if you're going to disregard it because you think I'm required to say it.
Yeah, how long do you think it's going to happen? It's the same thing I think that women don't understand about turning guys down for sex. You know what I mean? Like if you're making a move and you're like, no, like there's only so much that a guy can handle of that. And then they're going to rein back. They're going to pull back.
Oh,
and
you
then
mean
like
in the marital bed? You
exactly.
didn't mean in the bar?
Yeah. Okay. No, yeah. In the marital. Most
same
of,
thing after you have
I don't
children
know anything
and then you
about
stop
bar.
Getting
I was,
in. Yeah.
I was married to her before I turned 21. I could barely legally drink at my own wedding, I think,
right.
if I'm not mistaken. this I love. This is good stuff right here.
Chick on the Mr. Bombastic, fully fantastic. Watchman on me box, she says I'm Mr.
Now, I don't know if this would have flown for either of us, Paco, dating. You tell me, Natalie. 7-Eleven is now delivering a date night pack.
Oh, bullshit.
Now, this includes... No, hold on. This includes ice cream?
No.
Chocolate?
No.
Gum?
No.
Red Bull?
No.
And contraceptives?
No.
They call it a date night pack. If you want a date night without leaving your couch, the folks at 7-Eleven have you covered. They're now offering a date night pack that can get delivered through a website called DoorDash.com for $20.
That is sick.
You get a tub of Ben & Jerry's chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream, a Hershey's chocolate bar, a can of Red Bull, a pack of Trident gum, and a three-pack of Trojan ultra-thin condoms. And that, my friends, is how you spell romance.
And 6 weeks later, they should have a pregnancy test home delivered.
Why? Because of the ultra-thin condom?
Just in case.
Okay. But I just, to me...
Because if those kind of people are procreating, we got a problem.
Well, here's where I think. I think the real problem is not necessarily... I think there's lots.
That's
the fact
joke.
That you're getting it from 7-Eleven, number
That's
one.
That's a problem.
Right?
Yeah.
Number two, I don't
When they're free at the clinic. I mean, come
Thank
on,
you.
People.
Yeah.
Thank you, right? Go to Planned Parenthood like
yeah.
a normal
That
person.
Is like a cheap hooker date.
Well, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. This
I
is,
would feel like a hooker.
No, this is for college kids.
But he's your husband.
College
that
kids.
That makes it okay.
Right?
College kids.
Now you're getting it.
No. No, yeah, I still feel like a hooker.
I think it's, but I don't understand what date, like, how did that become
Who
a date?
Who thought of this and thought it was a good idea?
Wait a minute. Was there antibacterial wipes?
Oh,
no.
My gosh.
Then it's
Seriously.
Not a hooker package.
Right. Thank you.
Right? Yeah. And a towel.
An extra place to hide your wallet. Not that I would know that, honey. I
yeah.
don't know why you would have to hide. It's in movies.
A hide a key.
I watch lots of movies. No, the chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream feels like after dinner. But if you have ice cream, what do you need the Hershey's chocolate bar for? The can
it's like aphrodisiac shit and Red Bull to keep you going while you have multiple condoms.
Oh, okay. And then the gum is to freshen your breath from the horrible taste of Shirley's chocolate.
So round two.
Exactly. You have the gum to seduce her. Then you've got
the gum, I think, is post blowjob. I think that's what the gum is for.
Okay, but multi-purpose.
I don't think the package is for the woman.
And the ice cream is for when you're done.
It's when you're at a date night, you have it delivered.
No, I understand, but
you think this is like a pregame situation?
Exactly.
I know what I'm saying. Is it a man
buying
it or is a woman
buying
it?
Probably a cheap-ass man.
If it's got condoms in it, a woman isn't buying it.
You could try it in New York.
Not necessarily, because women don't like to buy condoms, so if they have it home delivered and it's secretive,
men don't like to buy them either.
That's what I think is part of the deal.
Men don't like to wear them. They certainly don't want to buy them.
Was my first thought when I saw this was that it's like, so this is so you could get condoms delivered to your house, which there's other services that I'm sure are more convenient, but for the guy who really likes the added joy of having the other random things that you throw in the checkout is to be like a fishing lure away from the eyes of condoms. Yes. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it should have a bottle opener.
Yeah. This is what all this
some
is
beef
for.
Jerky for protein.
Yes. A shovel and some lye. Yeah, I don't get it, but this is available.
Pipe cleaners,
New York, Chicago, and L.A.
That's a joke.
They also have a hangover pack for $15, which includes extra strength Tylenol. That makes sense. A bottle of Gatorade hydration.
Heard somewhere that Tylenol is actually not good to take with alcohol or with alcohol.
No, post for the headache.
This is like promoting.
And a large pizza and a turkey sandwich.
Things.
They also have a game day pack for football fans. It comes with a large pizza, a bag of Doritos, a bag of corn chips, a 2 liter of
Coke. Is 7-Eleven doing that bad?
And 10
Buffalo
Wings.
No, you see, it's not 7-Eleven. It's a company
that's using 7-Eleven.
7-Eleven is where they will get the stuff and then deliver you a thing.
I don't know that you can get like Buffalo Wings from 7-Eleven. I think that all the date night pack stuff comes from a 7-Eleven.
Why not use Walmart where you can get way more stuff? I mean, 7-Eleven is such a small number of things and it's all expensive.
Get this one.
But there's one on every corner.
A sniffles pack for when you're sick. It comes with cold and flu medicine, ibuprofen, a pack of tissues, and a 20-ounce Gatorade. I thought that
was interesting. Because, you know, if you used a Walmart, you could also get zip ties.
Yep.
You could get...
that's a real date night.
Yeah.
Shovels.
Yeah, shovels there. Exactly. A bag of lye.
Right?
Yeah.
Like I said. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I think I did this one.
There you go. The serial killer pack.
That if girls out there see guys that come running with that they run far, far away from those guys.
I think it's all people buy it as a gag. I can't imagine that's not going to go away in 10 minutes. It's a terrible idea.
I have no idea.
Maybe the game day, but guys want to make their own game day packs. They want to go out and get that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of get the idea of wanting it to be delivered. You know, like I had chicken wings delivered for one football day because I was just craving chicken wings.
Yeah,
so
but those
that.
Are chicken wings. You can get your own bag. You're going to buy your own bag of chips. You're at a store
true.
To buy groceries.
Well, why do you
discounted
need 2 bags of
shit? You're going to have cheap shit.
I could be wrong, but we may be overthinking this.
Yeah. Probably 10 minutes ago.
American teenagers receive 16.9% of their calories from fast food, according to the New York Times and the Center for Disease Control and Prevention reported last week. It made no difference whether the teenager was a boy or a girl, rich or poor, overweight or not, but there were some differences by race and ethnicity. Non-Hispanic white teenagers received 17.8% of their calories from hamburgers, French fries, and pizza. Non-Hispanic blacks, 18.8%. But energy intake from junk food was just 14.9% among Hispanic teenagers and 11.9% among Asian adolescents. They're kicking our ass there, too. Children ages 2 to 11 consumed about 9% of their calories from junk food. And on a given day, the researchers calculated 34.3% of children and adolescents ages 2 to 19 eat junk food. Two-thirds of them take in at least 25% of their calories from these meals. I thought that was wildly interesting. Yes, yes, no, no.
My kids don't eat, so they wouldn't have fallen onto that list anyway.
You make it convenient and cheap, they're going to eat it.
And that's well, and it's funny because, like I talked about on the show, that you said that the kids can't eat in the cafeteria because you don't want them to eat the junk food in the cafeteria food at the school.
Like
if I
let them eat it maybe once every couple weeks, but.
God, I used to eat that every day.
When you have beef nachos.
But look at me.
Yeah.
Beef, I mean, look at your choices. Sure, they throw a salad in there, but how many kids are going to ask for a salad when there's corn dogs, pizza, beef nachos, chicken nuggets?
Apparently the non-Hispanic blacks.
Yeah.
Yes,
are you really going to ask for broccoli over tater tots?
No.
Come on.
Who would? Nobody would.
Exactly.
Here's a scary thought.
No, I want gravy over tater tots.
Crushed it. Here's a scary thought if you have teenagers.
But I wonder what would happen if you say what you want to say.
According to a new study, your kids aren't always being honest with you. Not a huge surprise, but they might be getting away with it more than you think. Researchers at Amsterdam University talked to 1,000 people of all ages while they were hooked up to a lie detector and found that teenagers were the best liars. Kids between 13 and 17 were more likely to lie and get away with it than any other age group. The researchers think it's because the frontal lobe of their brain hasn't started deteriorating yet, so they were quicker on their feet than adults were. The study also found that teenagers tell the most lies. On average, people tell just over 2 lies a day, but 60% of teenagers tell around 5. Apparently, you can trust your kids until they're about 10 years old. Kids between 6 and 9 told fewer lies than any other age group, and most 6-year-olds aren't great liars, so it's pretty easy to catch them. That is. I wanted to know if the kids actually beat the lie detector test if they were a teenager. Like if they
sounds like they probably did.
Have you had moments with your guys and that you could just because my guys if they're lying I could see it right on their face. But
there have been a few more with Chad than with Diego.
Yeah, where you could just like I know what you're doing.
Well, not even necessarily like. There have been some times where he would say stuff and I go, oh, geez, I really don't think that's true. But in one case, a notable case in particular, he had been talking about how he had been doing his homework and then the day of the test came up. And
did you call him on it? Like what happened?
No, he pulled me in and went, I didn't do anything I was supposed to do. And that was a problem. I mean, in the end, he was, you know. But the thing is I'm not gonna do a Arlie Ermey to him.
Yeah.
Because he was the one who had to take the test. He was the one who was going to fail the test, and he was the one who had damaged the trust between us.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was far worse than any test.
Yep. Yep.
And that's what he has spent the last 9 months of trying to get back from is how to.
So you think that the natural consequence is punishment enough is what you're saying?
My yelling at him at the moment wasn't going to change anything, but I stopped trusting him.
Mm. Yeah. And which is worse.
Which is long term is worse.
Yeah, I tried to get that in.
I mean, I did appreciate the fact that he said something.
Right.
Because he could have just gone through and failed it and so on and so forth.
So at least he was honest at that moment, but he was dishonest before, which makes it, well, now I can't believe you or trust you. Yeah, which is worse. Yeah.
Good times. This is awesome. Oh, I have to turn it off.
Parents are the same, no matter time or place. They don't understand that us kids are going to make some mistakes. So to you other kids all across the land, there's no need to argue. Parents just don't understand.
A 13-year-old told his mom to stop treating him like a kid. And so she wrote him back. She wrote him a letter back, I guess posted it on Facebook, and it has gone viral. This is what the letter said. Dear Aaron, since you seem to have forgotten that you're only 13 and I'm the parent, I guess you'll need to learn a lesson in independence. Also, you threw in my face that you are making money now. It will be easier to buy back all the items I bought for you in the past. If you would like your lamp, light bulbs, or access to the internet, you will need to pay your share of costs. Rent, $430. Electricity, $116.
Oh,
internet,
awesome.
$21. Food, $150. Also, you will need to empty the trash Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, as well as sweep and vacuum those days. You will need to keep your bathroom clean weekly, prepare your own meals, and clean up after yourself. If you fail to do so, I will charge you a $30 maid fee for every day
That's
I have
awesome.
To do it. If you decide you would rather be my child again instead of roommate, we can negotiate terms.
That's
Love,
awesome.
Mom.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Isn't that incredible?
Love her. That is awesome.
Oh, I love that stuff. I want to remember that
I
verbatim.
Wonder if she's a single mom.
I don't
not,
know. I feel like
it says that.
I feel like she would have to be.
Yeah.
But if she is,
that
kudos
big
to her.
A bitch. Yeah.
Bitch. She's not
married.
A bitch.
Her name is Estella Havisham.
That's
I don't
awesome.
Know if that seems like a name that would be something
she's
that
Mrs.
someone would
Havisham?
Keep.
Because
Havisham.
She's putting it into perspective.
And the
you
reason
know?
He's doing this because he hadn't done his homework, but didn't want to be treated like a kid. She was tired of him telling her what to do.
And he's 13.
Yeah. Say, oh, and he makes a few bucks on his YouTube channel. He made a comment about it. At least one of us is making money. Estella's in between jobs because of health issues. So she wrote him a letter and said she agreed.
Wow.
She's a single mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, she probably is. Yeah. A single mom with health issues that's trying to raise her son, and then he pulls that inappreciative bullshit.
And a son who needed a little dose in humility.
Good for her.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. I wonder what the son thought. Shut up real quick.
I mean, if she honestly follows through and he has to start paying it, I don't know how
the
much money
he's... The son probably thought, why can't you keep a man? And what's going to happen in my future to us because she's not going to be able to take care of me?
Ooh.
And some of his hostility may have come from a place of fear and anxiety and worry. And he was playing it off to his buddies and being a 13-year-old dick.
I think ladders.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that surprises anybody that the worship.
I think all 13-year-olds.
He's being a 13-year-old dick.
I think all 13-year-olds, though, have their own insecurity and woes and whatever, but it's, yeah.
But it's weird to process your insecurity by going, listen, I got this. You know what I mean? Like, is that.
Well, they just need to be put into perspective.
They're posturing.
They just
they're
need
puffing
to be,
up their chest and going. Yeah. I'm not on the verge of tears. I'm taking care of it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
Yeah, I guess. I don't know, because I'm doing the exact same thing that your thought is. My brother decided one day to tell my father that he was an adult because he had turned 18 and that he couldn't tell him what to do. And I goes, oh, you want to be an adult? Okay, well, then get the hell out of my house and go be an adult then.
Right.
Which was probably my brother posturing, but then it's not real. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not a real thing to be able to go, listen, I got this. I've got a job. I'm making money. But... it could be the same kind of posturing where I had money and when I was like 12 and my mom was making something for dinner I didn't like, so I just went and ordered a pizza. I didn't ask him if I could do it. I just went and ordered a pizza and went and picked it up and left. And I'm sure my mom would rather that I enjoy a healthy, balanced meal rather than a pizza. But, you know, there's not much that they could say to it. But I didn't get in her face about it, I guess. I don't know. Maybe
I think that's just part of being a teenager, though. You want your own independence, and you say more than you should.
I think I've thoroughly exhausted all of us. That's what I'm picking up right now.
No.
Right.
No, hang on.
No, because
I
remember, like,
we
trying
start
to
over.
Be independent, and but then knowing you need to rely on other people. It's just a weird time.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean,
so
I did the same thing.
But this, stay out of the
but
house.
But this 13-year-old boy doesn't get that pass, that it's a weird time.
No, because he's 13. He's in it. He doesn't know. He shouldn't have to, like he's.
No, but when you say
it,
it's a weird time, I thought it's you saying, oh, people who are in that age range and in that time period, it's hard for them.
Yeah.
But he was a dick.
What's hard for him?
Right. It's right.
I feel like you're judging him as being a dick, but letting off other people saying, oh, it's a weird time.
But so what? No, it's both.
Can I ask, so I want to put this out to the room. What is hard about being a teenager today?
Okay. If you look at, like, there's that book that we read about the whole brain child, about how, like, a toddler is going to throw a fit and scream and cry and kick, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it's because they don't know how to handle their emotions.
Right.
Right? So that's the only way they know how to communicate is to throw a fit. And then it's our job to teach them, okay, throwing a fit's not okay. Let's talk about it or whatever. Like, explained it to them. Now you go into teenage mode where you've got all these hormones running through your body. You're still tied to your parents, but you're still trying to be kind of independent. You're trying to have your own little thing going on, but then you're still dependent over here. And you've got, like, you know, peer pressure, and then you want to get involved in extracurricular activities, or maybe you don't. And then you've got little insecurities about your body, the way you look, the blackhead on your nose, whatever. And then now you're trying to get a job and you're trying to think. It's just a weird transition in your life.
This is the part, though, that I think supports the asshole theory in me is that to me.
Oh, we're still going to fight when they're teenagers.
I know.
I
know.
I can't wait.
Because, like, it's like today. Like, what was it? Jacob had a scratch on his hand. This thing where they do where they come up and they show you, go, I need a Band-Aid. And I go, for what? And
it's got to
be.
You can't see it. You need a magnifying glass.
Yeah, you got to be, like, right. They got to get it up close to your face. And I go, well, son, if you have to hold it 2 inches from my nose, chances are you don't. That's not a cut. That's not, you know, it's. And so.
One day he did that to me. I said, are you bleeding everywhere? Then you're fine.
And I say,
I
so this is what
everywhere.
I play. Okay, fair to say. You're a grown adult. You're allowed. You pay taxes. I think that this thing where if I set the expectation, right, to say, I know, like, things are hard right now. But in the big picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not only is being a teenager such a small slice of your overall life, but as yes. well, it is the easiest that life will
okay.
be.
You are right, because it's the easiest because you're still at home and what have you. But when you're in it,
when you are
you
a teenager,
don't know.
It is the world. It is the
when
end of the world.
When you're in it, you don't see that it's easy. Like
right.
if
that's
I look
why
back
it's my job.
At my
just
life,
yelling at them to say you have it easy, shut up. Doesn't fix that. It doesn't address that. It just pounds it.
I don't know. She did a really good job in
but
that
that's,
Facebook post.
I mean, I'm not saying that pounding your chest and yelling, like, that's not my only tool in my toolbox,
okay,
to be fair.
Yeah. Sorry.
You know what
no.
I mean? It is the framing hammer on my tool belt. Don't get me wrong. It is the most commonly used tool. But no,
yes.
that's just to me, like, I had that situation with Jacob where I go, Jacob, I said, listen, I go, I understand now you're only 7, but I do it through because of repetition. I want this to get ingrained into
yes.
the psyche that I go, right now is the easiest your life is going to be. So if these things are such huge things now, and I just let you go, yeah, this is really raw hard. I'm gonna lay back and just try to get through it.
Yeah.
Then I'm as your father. I don't say this to him, but to me, I'm doing him a disservice.
Yeah, you're not doing your job.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, you're right. You know what? You got a scratch on your finger.
Well, the other day, dear, he did that with me. He was it was the puzzle thing. That you said, don't tell him the answer. He was getting really upset and really frustrated.
Yeah, it was some yeah. Star Wars
was like,
activity book.
Yeah, it was an activity book. And he was like getting teary-eyed because he was getting so frustrated.
Yeah.
And I can relate to that because I used to get like that.
Yep.
So I'm like,
son
Jacob,
who gets like that.
I said, cover this one. You know it's not this one. There's two more. Oh, it's hard. Blah, blah, blah. I said, if it's too much, then you need to put it away.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't want to put it away. Well, if you don't want to put it away, then you need to calm down, you need to take a deep breath,
yeah.
and you need to focus, because I'm trying to
is
teach him
to... Is this how she was on the wedding night?
I'm yeah. trying to teach him to focus...
I was also the same as him.
...that energy. You have all of this, freaking out energy.
Right.
Focus, channel that energy, and do the task. And as soon as he did that, he goes, this one. I said, why is it that one? I didn't tell him. I said, why is it that one? He goes, because of this, this, this. I said, see? And he just lit up
right.
like a Christmas tree and got so happy. I said, see, I said, when you calm down and you focus, you can do anything. I said,
right.
you did it. Good job. And he
right.
was so happy. He goes, I'm going to do another one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yes.
And I see, in my defense, while I'm yelling, I will lower my voice and say, by the way, when you figure this out, because no one here is going to help you, it will feel much better than if I just told you the answer.
And then he right. goes and does it.
Because he was getting angry that he goes, I need your help. I said, but in this, you don't need my help. It's just an activity book. This
right.
isn't, you know what I mean? You're not drowning in a well.
It's not a mm-hmm. test. It's not even homework.
Right.
It's not.
I don't know. Like I said.
It's recreational.
Exactly. Stop doing it if it's frustrating you.
But he did the same thing about his math homework, where he's like, I need your help with my math homework. He goes, it's really hard. I said, well, I'll take a look at it. And he just, the idea that I wasn't going, okay, already he's like, no, like he starts to resist me. And I said, I'm sorry. I go, but I'm your father and I'm who you're stuck with. So you're either going to have to figure this out. I said, I'll look at it. And if I think it's something you can't do, I'll walk you through it. But if it's stuff you already know how to do, I'm not going to let you phone it in. You got to figure it out. You got to use your brain to do it for you, not because I'm telling you to do it, kind of a thing.
Right.
And I think that I'm saying this not to get up on a soapbox. I'm saying this for a comedic effect 10 years from now. When I'm eating both of my shoes at the same time at this very table.
Yeah.
But I think the same thing goes where it's like to say that it's hard to be a teenager, I don't think helps anybody. I think that I go, this is it. It doesn't get easier. You think being a teenager is hard. Try being 32 and know that you got a kid on the way and you got a wife that's, you know, that has wants and needs and things, you know, that kind of stuff. Because I feel like I don't know. I'm talking on my ass. I got to get out of here.
I know. I got to be somewhere in 10
minutes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, this went way too long. I am so sorry, listeners.
That's okay.
Are they still listening? That's
a
good thing,
though. Yeah, we still got a lot of people.
We're 120. We never.
Wow.
It's gotta be a glitch.
Nice.
That's got to be a glitch. Jessica says, can't wait for the eating of the shoes. It'll be exciting. But I want to. There's got to be something that if it doesn't work out, I'm going to need somebody else to eat a shoe. And maybe that's anybody who doubts. Maybe we need to make a list of people who doubt, and then you get
and
to eat shoes.
Put it in a time capsule?
Yes.
10 years?
10 years from now. It's going to be me. We all know it's going to be me. Send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Let us know if you think it is creepy for you to watch your wife change clothes.
I want to know about
in the changing room, or if you have tried it and had achieved some kind
of
success or failure.
In the shower, walking by, hey, hot mama.
Nah, we've been through the shower thing. They
already
know
that. It's the same. It's the same kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay. So I think
that's their homework.
Send us your emails if you got questions for Rachel. show@thedadpodcast.com. We're going to be doing an episode hopefully with her in the next few weeks. All of our social media handles are in the description of this episode. Please make sure you give us a like at facebook.com/dadpodcast. Tune into the Fan Lounge run by our very own Butcher Drew.
All right, all right, all right.
That is staying frosty with the Drew. Dad Podcast.
He was one of the ones we lost, by the way.
Yeah, he left.
He left.
He left. He's out. check out Justin is Married Booker single episode out. New one last week. New one this week. And tell three people about this show so we can grow the audience. And now Paco's going to tell you about our fantastic Amazon banner.
You want to help podcast, but you wonder how. Here's how. Go to Dad Podcast website and scroll them down to the bottom.
Scroll them.
And when you click through...
Yes, Blue River, say it.
You click through to the Amazon, and there are plenty of things for you to purchase. When you buy one, show get money, cost you nothing, mean a lot to Great Beaver and Little One. Do that.
Crushed it. On behalf of Natalie Worsham, a.k.a. my adoring wife, of which I adore, is the way I wanted that to come out. But let's be honest. You got to adore me.
Look at the look, at the look in her eyes.
Oh, God, she is so into me. It's creepy.
Totally.
Super creepy. Paco Lanzini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley, is just Worsham saying, hug your kids, hump your loved one, and stay frosty, my friends.